Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
So LJ Renee, the Christmas season is upon us. Are you getting into the Christmas spirit?
Yes, I am.
How excited
about it? Well, one thing I'm doing is I'm getting my Christmas list together.
Can you put my name down on there a couple of times, please?
Well, I only got room for two.
Two names?
Two gifts.
Oh, Lord. Let's move on. Amen.
You know your name's on the list.
Amen. Let's talk about John chapter 5. I love the account of this story. I'll read this out of the King James Version. John chapter 5 and verse 1, the first 10 or 11 verses. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been there a long time in that case. And he said unto him, will you be made whole? The impotent man answered Jesus, saying, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen.
Amen. And the question was asked, will you be made whole? That was the question that Jesus asked the individual. And his response was, he had no one to put him into the water.
It sounded like a yes or no question to me.
That wasn't the answer, because he was looking at the situation where it is, I would be in the water, but don't you see my situation? I just can't move as quick as everybody else. I don't have anyone to help me to get into the water so that I would be made whole.
But have you ever asked anyone a simple question? Do you want some cake, or do you want to go, or do you want something? And it's just a simple yes or no kind of question, and they go through this elaborate answer of, well, I would have had some if only this or that. And they're going, and all you're sitting there saying, I just want to know if you want a ride. I just want to know if you want a piece of cake. It's just a yes or a no question. I mean, you have the truth, the life standing before you, the answer to all of your life's dilemmas standing before you, and posing a question that only he can answer and fix for you. He said, will you be made whole? This is not like you or me asking the man, will you be made whole, and hoping that our faith can help the man get up and walk. But this is the life, the truth, and the way standing before him saying, do you want to be made whole? Kind of like the woman at the well, when Jesus said, if you knew who it was that was asking of you, you wouldn't be standing here talking.
And that's the thing that the point too, I think, is that he didn't know who Jesus
was.
He didn't know who was standing before him, and maybe that's the reason why he went through the excuses, because he know that by the arm of man and the hand of man, you know, you can't help me because you just don't have the capacity. But I know that in this particular water, they say the angel stirs up. If you just get me, and not realizing that the God of the water, the God the healer, is right in his midst.
And if you, and if maybe if I could tell you my sad story. I've been here a long time,
yes.
sir. I've been trying a long time, but no one helps me. And people keep jumping in front of me. And maybe if you knew my story, you'd be willing to help me. But oh my God, you just don't know that all of your help is embodied in the one that is speaking to you. Same as it is with us now. When God asks us a question, will you be made whole? What is our response to the Lord Jesus Christ of will you be made whole? I pray, God, that all of us respond to the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will be made whole because God has the ability, the power, and the desire to make you whole. When we are seeking, the problem is we often seek our deliverance and help at the hands of those that cannot really help us. We are seeking our rescue and our source of strength from those that are not truly our source. Jesus is the source of your strength and the strength of your life. And if you're not seeking help from him, the Bible says all of my help comes from the Lord. When you're seeking help and strength in anything outside of the Lord, then you need to check that. You know, this man is telling him about the way the water gets troubled. Little did he know that it's the angel of the Lord that comes and troubles the water. And the angel troubles the water by the authority of the Lord. But that Lord is standing before him right now. And little did he know that the Lord that's standing before him right now has a whole nother unconventional means by which he's going to heal him. He's not going to trouble the water. That's the way the angel did it. But this is the Lord of the angel that's come to see about you. He's not going to do it the way that you're expecting. Mm-hmm. And isn't that how we are, LaWanna? Mm-hmm. For 38 long yes. years, the man was sitting by that poolside wanting something that he had not been able to attain. For all of our lives, we've been desiring and longing and thirsting for something that we've not been able to attain, but we've been looking for it from a source that was not God, and God's going to do it a different way. You keep looking yes. through the front door, but God's going to come through the ceiling. You keep looking through the back door, and God's going to come through the floor.
It says that he was there for 38 years waiting for someone to put him in the pool, and I don't know how he got there, but he did, and he knew that possibly knew that one day, hopefully, someone would have the mercy of God to not think about themselves and to put him in the pool so that he would be healed. And so we look at our hindrances, our limitations. We look at our inabilities to do some things and not realizing that it is God that will give us the ability. And another thing we look at is just as you say, we think that the way that we are healed and the way God will open up doors, we look at it from the eyes of what we think it had, or how we think it should happen, or how it always seemed to happen, and not really thinking that God is able to make a way for us above any other way. And when God, sometimes when he shows up, we oftentimes look at that way and say, no, that couldn't be it, or no, this can't work.
You know, that's a good point, because in Isaiah chapter 55, the Bible says that for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways
right.
my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. We tend to think that God is going to do this thing the way that we have conjectured and the way that we have thought it and planned it and plotted it. But God isn't thinking along our old small puny ways. God is not limited to our own ability. That's why the Bible says that he does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Right.
Because his ability to perform and to do in our lives supersedes anything we've ever imagined or thought of. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. We think in a certain way. We think in a certain manner, but God thinks on a whole different plateau. He thinks in a whole different realm. And so when God comes to do a thing while we're looking for him, as I said before, to come through the front door, God has taken the roof off the house. While we're looking for God to come through an open window, God is not even going to use a window at all. This man has been there 38 years. He's watched people get in the water and he's watched them be healed. So he's thinking that his healing is going to come in the pool. He doesn't know what year. He doesn't know when, mm-hmm. but he's going to sit there because he doesn't have anything else he can do. So he's going to wait on his change to come. But he thinks that his change is going to come through the stirring of the water in the pool. But here comes the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's going to do it a whole different
way.
He's not going to fool with the or water at all. And I tell you, I heard this one time, this account of this text one time, and they talked about when Jesus came over to the man. You know, the Bible says in the scripture that I just read that there were lame folk, there were impotent folk, there were blind folk. They were laying all around that pool because they too were waiting on their opportunity to get into the water when it was troubled, that they too might be healed. So when Jesus came to this man, and you know, he had gotten himself as close as he could get to the edge of that water. He just needed somebody to push him in when the water was troubled. So he probably was all the way to the edge of that pool. So when Jesus came over to him, you have to imagine he had to step through the blind folks and step through the impotent folk and step through the withered and the halt folk. He had to step through some sick folk and step through some folk that had some needs. When it is your time to be blessed, God will do whatever he has to do to get to you. What God has for you, it is for you.
Amen. What God has for you is for you. And if you think about the man that was at the pool there, the whole thing that God is trying to do is to get us, one, to look for him, to go to him and begin to conversate with him. And the second thing I believe God wants to do is to cause us to trust him. My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. He's saying, I have a plan to deliver. And I believe the point of the matter is to know that you look to him for your deliverance.
When Jesus says to this man, take up your bed and walk, I like the way that the writer gets right to it. He said, and immediately the man was made whole. There are some things that come through progression in your life. There are some things that takes time to develop in your life. But then there is that immediate deliverance. There's that immediate healing. There's that immediate word that you get from God that when he speaks it, you better act upon it, because immediately God will make you whole.
Let's go to Proverbs 16, I believe it is. It says, a man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And when we look at that scripture, it's talking about we might make up plans. We might write down the things that we want to do. We may write down what we want God to do for our lives. And that's not a bad thing to do. We need to write down some plans, but we need to know that it's God that's going to direct our steps. And our ways are not like God's ways. And where we think that we need the money to do something, God's saying, no, you don't. You just trust me. I'm going to cause people to pour into your bosom. Where we think we can't do it because of our limitation, he said, you're looking at yourself. I want you to look to me. He says, I'm going to open up doors that no man can shut, and I'm going to shut doors that no man can open. But when we look at these things, and then oftentimes we think about the doors, and when we talk about the doors being open that no man can shut, we get happy and begin to shout. But when he start talking about closing doors and no man can open, then we kind of get a little bit hesitant. But don't you know that when God closes doors, it is oftentimes and many times to say that that door is closed, you can't go back through it. And when that door is closed, it sometimes means that the people that you used to associate with, they're no longer useful in this journey that I've set you on. So God has the plan for you. He's just asking us to trust him. I remember that God posed that question to me one day, and it was through a revelation, and I really was a little embarrassed by the whole situation. But he asked me, he said, do you trust me?
And that is the question. And I hope that when God asks us the question, that each and every one of us can say, Lord, I will trust you. Though everything in my life seems to be telling me not to believe what God has said, because everything I'm looking at is contrary to what God has promised. But I pray, God, that all of us can have the testimony
and the deadline
that says,
has passed.
I will trust you. Though it is not easy, I will trust you.
Yes.
Though it's difficult, I will trust you. I will trust you with everything that is within me. I will trust you.
Happened to me 10 years ago.
Hurt ever leave.
Yeah.
I can only trust you. No one loves like you do.
But it's the thoughts in my mind.
So many painful thoughts travel through my mind. And I
wonder how I will make it.
I will make it through.
Oh God, but I trust you.
I'll trust. Lord, it's not easy.
Sometimes the pain in my life. Oh God, it makes you seem so far away. Can I get a witness, somebody? But God, I trust you. Through the tears. Anybody ever had to cry late in the midnight hour? Every tear you've had to cry. Through the heartache and rain. Come on, take it up. Through the tears. Oh, that's right. Through the heartache. Listen, somebody's going through something right now, and the devil's trying to convince you that there's no way you can make it out. And he says you're not going to be able to get out of this situation. But I wish somebody would make the devil out of a lie right now and lift your hands and say, God, I will trust you. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to show up. But God, I know you're going to do it. God, I know you're going to bring me out. Come on, if that's you, come on, lift your voice and say, I will. Oh, that's right. I'll trust you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I don't know when the pains go in. But I know, God, you wouldn't put more on me than I can bear. So I trust you in spite of what I see, in spite of what I'm going through. I trust you. God, you've never left me. I know you love me. That's why I trust you. Come on, now you take it up. I've had my heart broken. I made some mistakes. God, you still kept me. Oh, God, you're faithful. You see what I'm going through. You know my pain. I trust you. It's not easy for me, but I trust you. I know you're here with me. I'm not by myself. As long as I got you, Jesus.
Through the heartaches and pains, through the trials and tribulations, will you trust him? Sometimes the devil come to you and tell you, you ain't never getting out of this situation. You've been here not 38 years and still been waiting, and God haven't delivered you yet. You ain't going nowhere. You're going to die in this place. You're going to die and not realize your dreams. God's not coming to deliver you. This is all it is for you. So you might as well turn around and walk away. But I come to tell you that God says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. He's saying that, listen, I have the plan for you. I am going to deliver you. All I'm asking you to do is to trust me.
Hallelujah. And 38 years is not a very long time in the plan of God for your life. It might seem like a long time, and you might be getting weary. We get weary after 38 minutes, LaWanna. We get weary after 38 days. This man had been at that pool for 38 years. And the question was, will you be made whole? God has not forgotten about you. The devil has come to tell you a lie that God has forgotten you. The devil has come to tell you a lie that your season has passed.
Yes.
The devil has come to tell you a lie that this is not going to happen, because if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. But the devil is still the father of lies, and the devil is still the accuser of the brethren. Don't believe what he is speaking to you and anyone that he uses to speak those lies into your life. You need to turn your ear away from them and pray God that he would give you an ear to hear what his spirit is saying unto you. Yes. What God has said to you from day one is what he means for you even today.
Yes.
If God said you are the head and not the tail, you are still the head and not the tail. If God says you're above only and not beneath, even when it feels like you're underneath the ground, even when it feels like you got to look up to see the bottom, you are still above and not beneath.
Amen.
God, you are who God says you are. You are what God says you are, and you can do all that God said you can do. And you need to speak to every force in your life, every power, every person, every entity in your life that comes to speak into you anything contrary to the truth of God. Let God be true. Let God be true.
Yes,
and every man be a liar. I might have been sitting in this state for 38 years, but if God said I'm coming out, I'm going to go to my grave confessing that I am coming out. I'm going to go to my grave confessing that I am who God says that I am. There are many in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, that died in faith, believing, not having received the promise, but they died in faith, believing. Don't let anything deter you. you from your faith in God. If you're willing to trust him no matter what. Mm. Trust him through the thick and the thin of it. Trust him in the valley and on the mountaintop. Trust him in the good days and in the bad days. Will you trust him?
My Lord. And then in Psalms 25 verse 4, this is powerful. And I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. He's saying that those who trust in me, you will never be ashamed. He said, it's not your reputation on the line.
Hallelujah.
It's my reputation on the line. And my reputation is that I am faithful,
Hallelujah.
That I'm good, that I'm merciful, that I'm a promise keeper, that I'm never late. I'm always on time, that I'll move mountains to get to you. That's my reputation. My reputation is that I'm God, the Lord God Almighty, and beside me there is none other. My reputation is that when the enemy comes, I'll make him bow. When he raises his hand to strike at you, I'll cause his hand to be to stay. He said, listen, I am God. You know my reputation. And that's the thing about it. We got to know God and know his reputation, know who he is. And he said, I'll move heaven and hell to come to you. And then it says this, those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. So if there's some people that are speaking in your ear and telling you, girl, you've been here a long time and maybe you miss God. And you know, there's another one you hear people say, God don't move that way.
How do they know?
God don't move that way. God don't do it like that. But you know what? God says, listen, again, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Listen, when they were standing at the brink of the Red Sea wondering how they were going over, somebody could have said, honey, God don't move this way. He's not going to move that water. But what happened?
But when he moved the water, their little feet went stammering across that dry sea.
That's right. And all those who stood there, even the enemies, were amazed at what had happened. And then it goes on to say, and this is the point we're trying to get to. It says, make me know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation.
Hallelujah.
For you I wait all the day. Lord, make me know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your path. He said, but I want you to know my path. Sometimes you're going to have to go through the valley. Sometimes you're going to have to trudge up that mountain. He said, but that's the way that I'm taking you. Now, your path, Twyla, may be different than my path. But he said, all it is to get you to the purpose and plan that I have for you.
And that's the thing that we get hung up right there, because I'm looking at the way he's taking you. And I'm looking at the way he's
yes.
taking my brothers and my sisters. And I'm wondering, then why did I have to go this way? But I hear the word of God in Deuteronomy say, I led you this way on purpose.
That's what
he
said.
That I might prove to you what is in your own heart. Don't worry. And then you hear the disciples around Jesus before Jesus gave up his life. And you hear one of them say of John, they said, well, if you want me to do this,
yes.
what about
what
him?
About
What's
him?
He? And what does Jesus say? He said, what does it mean to you? You do what I called you to do.
That's
and
right.
That's what we're saying to you today. The way that God has for you, that's the way you need to go. Stop comparing yourself to others. Your life is in the hands of God. He has predestined it before the foundations of the world. And God knows. I hear Job say, the Lord knows the way that I take. You got to trust in God that he knows the way that you take, because he has predestined the steps that you travel. And if you believe it, then you've got to trust him to do it. The songwriter said, God doeth all things well.
Yes, he does.
Either he does it all well or he doesn't do any of it well. Either he is altogether God or he's not God at all. I choose to trust God. I choose to believe that God is who he said he is, and God will do what he said he would do. His ways are not our ways. His ways are unconventional to us. His ways are past our finding out. You cannot by searching find out God, who has been the counselor of the Almighty. But I hear the word of God say that if what was done in the days of Jesus were written in the volume of books,
God.
That the whole earth couldn't contain the volume of those books. How do you know what God can do? How do you know what God won't do?
Oh my God. I remember when we think about Jeremiah and the things that God told Jeremiah to do, lay on his side for so many days, and how he was put into the dungeon and the things that he had to go through, just to illustrate to Israel the plan of God, that God was trying to turn their hearts back to him. Now, if in the natural way, we look at Jeremiah and say, God, didn't tell you to do that. He didn't tell you to put that sash around your waist. No, he wouldn't move like
God
that.
God wouldn't do that.
God
and what about
that?
Hosea? Marry the prostitute. Oh no. God would never tell you to do that.
No, and you'll call him a fool. Man, you're a fool to keep going back to that woman. But God wanted to demonstrate his faithfulness.
You should have walked away from that a long time ago.
To demonstrate listen, he was there for 38 years, okay, waiting for someone to put him in the water. That when that man was made whole, and when we are made whole, when we are the expectation, there's a scripture in Psalms that says, my expectation is of the Lord. When that expectation is fulfilled, all those years that you have waited and all that time that you have waited, the glory of the Lord is upon you so much that you won't even remember. Oh my God, you won't even remember the days. You'll remember it as a testimony to help someone else out, but you won't be burdened with that process no more because God has delivered you.
But then in verse 10, it says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, him that was healed, him that had received the blessings from God, they said unto him, it's the Sabbath day.
And that's the law. You don't do
nothing. And it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Now, I tell you what, I mean, 30, can you say it again? 38 long years that man been sitting there, and Jesus has come by and made him whole. And you got some religious vipers that now want to tell the man that it's the Sabbath day. He is breaking the customary law to be carrying his bed because Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. So the man was walking, but he was carrying his bed. And
he was carrying his bed and he's walking and people rejoicing.
But Jesus had him carry his bed on purpose. He could have just had him walking and leaping and praising God. But he said, take up your bed and walk. And when the man's walking around with his mat rolled up, the religious people said, man, don't you know it's the Sabbath day? You can't be carrying your bed on the Sabbath. Never mind that Jesus just made you whole. Never mind he just brought you out of a horrible pit. They want to know, don't you know it's the Sabbath day? Later for our rules and regulations. Later for these things that keep us bound.
Yes.
And keep us. That's why you've been there 38 years. You worried about offending the church folk. How about you seek to please the living God?
That's what it says. How about you seek to please? In the word of God, it says, Lord God, you are my delight.
Hallelujah.
It is in you that I take pleasure of. The Bible says that man is not made for the Sabbath.
Hallelujah.
But the Sabbath is made for man.
But all of our religious folk that hold the rules and the rudiments of the church more precious than you hold the word and the principles of God. God forbid, let God be true and every man a lie. There is no church rule. There is no man-made rule that should be held up higher than the word and the truth of the living God.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this message, dear Father, that you have given unto us, that your ways are not our ways, nor our thoughts are not your thoughts. God, we thank you that you are greater than I. You're the greater one, Father, in the name of Jesus. And that greater one lives in us, God. Oh, God, speak to our hearts and cause us to know your ways and cause us to have that delight in you. Lord, cause our hands to be lifted up before you and say, I surrender all. Cause us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to trust you in the precious name of Jesus. And though the trials that we may go through, those the journey, dear Father, may be long, that God, that we will trust you, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, because God is working together for our good. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, every person that's under the sound of our voices this morning, that they will be encouraged, that they will learn your ways, and that God, that they will delight in your ways. We pray that God, against their father's religious spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, calls us to know that it is by your grace, oh God, your unmerited favor, dear Father God, your power, dear God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that will cause a man to walk upright in before you, Father, in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you today, God. Teach us your ways, God, that we may know your path, because you said, God, the step of a righteous man is ordered by you. We thank you. Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.